Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, and I'm going to read beginning in verse 21. This kind of breaks into the paragraph. It finishes the paragraph we looked at last week. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I gotta get mic'd up here. So let's take a look at this today. The Apostle Paul says for us here, in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning your blessing on your word. We're thankful, Lord, that you have instructed us in how our homes are to operate and how we are supposed to act in our home, the roles that we all have to play. And Lord, we're thankful that because of salvation and the fullness of your Spirit, we are able to do what you expect us to do. Help our wives today to be reminded of their responsibility. And then as we move forward in the responsibility we have in the home, that we as husbands would especially be the kind of man we ought to be in the home. So bless your word today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were to rate your marriage this morning on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being very poor and 10 being excellent, what would your score be? And what criteria would you use to make your rating? And how do you think your spouse would answer the question? Well, over the last few months, marriage and family relationships have been fairly, really tested, haven't they? There's been a closeness that many families are not used to, and they find it difficult to cope under the current circumstances. Since COVID-19 has shut everything down, there has been an uptick in family conflicts and abuse. So some who thought they had a good marriage might by now have changed their mind. Hopefully that's not true in your case. But even in Christian families, this can have a negative effect if we don't obey the word of God, if we don't abide by the standards God says he wants the home to be run by in his word. Success in family relationships is connected to what Paul has stated here about the fullness of the Holy Spirit back in chapter 5, verse 18. And as we allow the Spirit to control us, it results in certain things such as joyfulness, he's mentioned, thankfulness, and now submissiveness in verse 21. We're to be submitting to one another in the fear of God. And from that point, Paul then moves into some areas that are examples where we need to exercise this submission. Wives are to be submissive to their husbands. Children are to obey their parents. And slaves are to be submissive to their masters. So this is God's order for the home. Martin Luther called this Hausstaffel, which means a house table or a table or set of duties that will ensure a home to be secure and safe and joyful and blessed. The responsibilities of wives, husbands, children, and even household servants are laid out for us. As each person fulfills their role, their responsibility of being controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, their home will reflect the happiness and stability that God intends for it. Now, today, we're going to begin where Paul did, and that's with the responsibility of the Christian wife to their husband. And there's no greater blessing within the home than a virtuous woman who faithfully fulfills the role that God has given to her. Now, as we begin, we're going to back up. We're going to consider verse 21. We didn't get that far last time, but it's kind of a verse that goes one way or the other. Some expositors would attach this to what has been previously said here about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because as you noted last time, there are five participles all ending with an ing. So beginning verse 19, speaking to one another, and then singing and making melody, giving thanks, and then in verse 21, submitting to one another. So there are those who believe it should go with that paragraph. Others believe it kind of introduces what Paul is going to begin talking about now, because it's the topic of submission, and he goes into the home and shows us how that works out. Actually, it fits in both cases. Grammatically speaking, it goes with the previous paragraph because it is a participle dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God and His fullness, and is further explaining to us the evidence of the Spirit working in us. He causes us to sing and have joy and to speak to one another through singing and to have a thankful spirit, and also to be submissive to the roles He's called us to and under the authorities He's given to us. Now, what then does it mean to submit? Well, this word actually it comes from a Greek military term, meaning to arrange in a military fashion under the command of a leader. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? It refers to orderly ranking under an authority. Now imagine what it would be like if everybody in the armed forces thought they should be a general. There would be chaos. If everybody was a private, there'd also be a chaos because nobody knows what they're doing. So this is a good term for us to understand that submission means to willfully put yourself under the authority of another. Used in a non-military sense, it conveys such things as a voluntary attitude of giving in. We don't like to give in, do we? But that's what this word means. Or cooperating, or assuming a responsibility, or carrying a burden. So all these thoughts come together in this idea of submission. So it infers a voluntary, willful placing of yourself under the authority of another, and you cooperate with that authority, you assume your responsibility or your role in regard to that authority. Now, this is a necessary aspect of God's order in society and also in the church. God's order is actually given to us back in 1 Corinthians. Let's go to chapter 11, if you want to, verse 3. This is what it says there. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. So even the Lord Jesus Christ, in his earthly ministry, had a head. He was under an authority. The word head there refers to authority or to leadership. And Christ is the authority over every Christian man. Really, he's an authority over everyone, but especially in this context, the Christian man. Now, the woman there, I think that's the wife. The Christian man is over the woman or his head. And even Christ is under the authority of God the Father. So think about that. The Lord Jesus submitted perfectly to the will of God while he was on this earth. He did this even to the point of death on our behalf. As Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8 indicates, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, which was the most ignoble death of the day. So submission to God-ordained authority involves humility and meekness and obedience. Now, Paul is telling us here that the one evidence of the fullness of the Spirit is submitting to one another in the fear of God or reverence for God. Now, that doesn't mean that we all have some kind of authority over each other. It's talking about an attitude that should pervade in the church where you don't act like you're the boss and you're willing to work with other people and you're willing to have this humble and obedient attitude. It's talking about a ruling attitude within the church. We're humble, we're meek, we're considerate of each other in the community of faith. And that's further described in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." That's the attitude that helps the church to run smoothly. It's the opposite of demanding your own way, throwing your weight around, promoting yourself, demanding your rights. We see so much of that today. This attitude squelches self-assertion, self-determination, self-dependence. Those things really can't work in the body of Christ. We cannot convey this attitude, though, without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who enables us to willingly submit to the role God's given us in His church and in our homes. And this includes all the roles that follow for wives and husbands and children and master-slave relationships, kind of employment relationships today, and it's laid out there for us. So let's move in then to the responsibility of wives, Christian wives, in the home as Paul continues here. Now, before we look at verse 22, which talks about the wives being submissive, I want to preface this with some historical background. There has been no movement or influence in the history of humanity that has elevated the position of women more than Christianity.
That's right, Christian.
Nothing has done a better job of that than the Church of God. So let me give you the prevailing attitude of three historical groups existing at the time of Paul. And really, a lot of this change has not even come in modern times until about the 20th century. Now, in Jewish society, when I think, well, the Jews would have it right because they were under the Old Testament covenant of God. But as you read through your Old Testament, do you find that the majority of biblical figures there had one wife or several wives? Well, they had many wives. And for some reason, they ignored the pattern set forth in Genesis 1 and 2 and God's command not to multiply wives, especially during the times of the kings. So an exclusive, intimate relationship with one woman was not necessarily the norm, even in biblical Jewish society. Now, by Christ's day, a Jewish man viewed his wife largely as, you know, just property, with whom he could do almost anything he pleased. He could divorce her if she cooked him a meal that he didn't like. In the morning prayer of a Jewish man, this is what he would pray to God. This is what he would thank God for, that he was not a Gentile, that he was not a slave, and he was not a woman. And Jewish women at that time didn't have really any legal rights. The man could divorce the woman, but the woman couldn't divorce the man and other things of that nature. Now, let's think about Greek society. Of course, that's not any better. In the Greek culture, the duty of the woman was, quote, to remain indoors and to be obedient to her husband, unquote. It was a sign of a good woman that she must see as little, hear as little, and ask as little as possible. She had no kind of independent existence and no kind of mind of her own, and her husband could divorce her almost at caprice so long as he returned her dowry. A pun of the day went like this: if a woman runs a house, it dies. Demosthenes wrote this: We have courtesans for the sake of pleasure. We have concubines for the sake of daily cohabitation. We have wives for the purpose of having children legitimately and of having a faithful guardian for all our household affairs. Now, isn't that a high view of women? Not really. Roman society, okay? So you have Jewish society, Greek society, Roman society. They're equally as bad, I guess we could say, because in the Roman culture, the law gave no rights to the woman, and really, in the eyes of the law, she remained forever a child. When she was under her father, she was under the Roman law, patria potestas, the father's power, which gave the father the right of even life and death over his daughter. And when she married, that right passed to her husband. He had that type of power over her. So she was entirely subject to her husband and completely at his mercy. Cato, the censor, the typical ancient Roman, wrote this: if you were to catch your wife in an act of infidelity, you can kill her with impunity without a trial. Now, at the time of Paul, the Roman family was in a state of disarray. Seneca writes that women were married to be divorced and divorced to be married. And you can go back in the annals of history and the elite society, and you can find examples of people being married over 20 times, married and divorced. You think it's bad in our society, it was even worse then. So Christianity began to change all of this as God gave the roles of husbands and wives in a one-man, one-woman relationship, and that's where his blessing lies. So, women have now equal status with men in the church as a result of what Christ did for us all on the cross of Calvary. I'm going to remind you of this. Back in Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to read to you the last couple of verses here. Verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we're joint heirs with Christ. Whether we're a man or a woman, we're on equal footing as a believer in Christ. So that elevates the status of women. Now, as we look back to Ephesians 5, we see that there are two major responsibilities of the woman in the home. And those are submission to her own husband and respect for her husband. All right? So let's look at verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Okay? So this is for Christian women. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to the church to save people, to Christian women. We don't need to worry about the rest of the world because they don't know what to do anyways. So the Christian woman is to be submissive to her own husband. So none of you have the right to tell my wife what to do, as I don't have the right to tell your wife what to do. We don't have that kind of a relationship going on here. There is a parameter given here that this is to their own husband, not to men in general, not to guys over ladies, but in that marriage relationship, and is also to the Lord. So as you submit to this demand, you're actually submitting to the Lord because he's showing you what his will is. So obedience or submission to your husband is the same as submission to the Lord. Now, this goes back to the previous paragraph. There's a connection here. It's to be done in the fear or the reverence of the Lord out of respect for God and His Word and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You can't submit to anybody in the proper way without the filling of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. The natural man wants to submit to no one and no thing other than self. Now, one commentator I read put it like this, as he described submission. It denotes subordination to those considered worthy of respect, either because of their inherent qualities or more often because of the position they hold. So it's the position that's important here, as well as the qualities of the person. But because he is head of the home, you have the responsibility to place yourself willingly under that head. The husband holds the position of headship, of leadership, and therefore the wife is in her role to submit to that position. Okay, so again, this does not indicate that all women are to be ruled by all men or that women are somehow inferior to men. There are some circles of Christianity where I think that's what they believe, that, you know, my wife is inferior to me and she's more like my slave than my wife, and whatever I say goes. As we've seen, in Christ, there's an equality. We are joint heirs of salvation. We serve Him together. And women should be respected on the same level as men are. Amen. Now, this, folks, you know, is a source of great controversy in our society today. Women want to be liberated from what they perceive to be male dominance. The women's liberation movement has been in vogue for quite some time. And in some ways, we can understand those desires, because as we already pointed out, and this has been true for hundreds of years in society, history demonstrates that men have not always treated women right. And even God's word indicates that this would be a problem in human relationships. There would be a struggle over who is going to be the head, the authority, the leader. Now, I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 6. And this is something that I hadn't really thought about, and I came across in my studies, and I want to put it out there for you. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3. And this is right in the beginning. This is the fall. We all know how that worked out. Not very well. And the Lord is speaking to Eve, to the woman, in verse 16 of chapter 3. This is what He says. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now that's what I want to look at. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now that's indicating a controversy. There's kind of a difference of opinion on how to interpret that. But I want you to look over at chapter 4. Because this is the story of Cain and his bad attitude toward God and his brother, and how God said it should be handled. And in verse 6, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire, same word, is for you, but you should rule over it. There's a similarity in the structure between that and what God told Eve. And we have to say here that what is sin's desire? It is to rule over you. It is to control you, and you are supposed to rule over it. Now let's go back and put the interpretation of verse 16. The woman's desire may be to rule over her husband, to control her husband. But God says, no, he shall rule over you. So you have to have the submissive spirit. You're not the one who is to be in charge. It is your husband. So God says you need to submit to that authority God has placed over your life. Now, this distortion of the husband-wife relationship is historical, right up to our time now, isn't it? Do you know any women who run the home? Do you know any men that let them? All right, so let me quote you another thought here. In the home, the husband's loving, humble headship tends to be replaced by domination or passivity. The wife's intelligent, willing submission tends to be replaced by usurpation or servility. Now that's true. It's possible to have a domineering husband who takes his authority way too far, or a passive husband who just lets his wife do whatever. On the other hand, a wife may usurp her husband's role and authority and take charge, or servility, she lets herself be a doormat. And none of these situations is acceptable to God. That's not what God teaches here. A Christian's wife's submission is as to the Lord. God's order in the home is what should be followed. And in other words, when she submits to her husband, she's submitting to the will of God. And by doing so, she actually is helping her husband to be complete and serve God better in his role as a leader. She's encouraging him in that. So, the main responsibility is for the wife to submit humbly, filled with the Spirit of God, willfully to her husband. Also, that includes respect. In verse 33, we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't come to that point, but what's happening there is the apostle's kind of wrapping things up, and he says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So respect is involved in this submission. I guess you can submit without showing respect, but it's a lot harder. A wife is to reverence her husband. It's difficult to submit to someone you don't respect. And a Christian husband ought to be the kind of man that will allow his wife to easily respect him. Amen. Respect should be displayed in public and in the privacy of the home. I've heard many women publicly disparage or make fun of their husband. We need to be careful of how far we allow ourselves to go with that. Nobody likes to be belittled before other people. It is equally important to show respect in the home, especially if you have children in the home. We don't want to be the type of wife that turns the child against the father. If a disagreement needs to take place, it should be done in private, not in front of the children. You need to go someplace else or send them someplace else. There shouldn't be any abusive words flying around between husband and wife. How does that demonstrate love? How does that demonstrate fullness of the Holy Spirit? When that you get to that point, you've lost the Spirit. He's gone out of control, I should say. Peter adds that a Christian wife also needs to exhibit a gentle and quiet spirit, as we read earlier this morning, which is very precious in the eyes of the Lord. And a man senses his wife's respect and submission, and when he does that, he's not going to have any reason not to be a good leader in the home. So that just kind of helps the man do his job and fulfill his role. Now, we get down to verse 23 and verse 24. We have the reason here for fulfilling the responsibility. And here the apostle places the marriage relationship on the highest possible plane. The structure of the home is a reflection of the structure of the church itself. It represents the relationship between Christ and his people. Look at what he says in verse 23. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. That's deep. Now, what is he saying here? The authority of the husband in the home correlates to the authority of Christ in the church. They have headship roles. Now, Christ's headship over the church was established through his death and resurrection. We saw that back in chapter 1 and verses 21 to 23. Won't go there. But he's above all authorities, and has been given the chief place of authority over his church. And the term head again indicates a position of authority, of rule, of leadership. So by virtue of his work of salvation, he has become the Savior of the body, which is the church. Savior means deliverer, deliverer from sin. Christ delivered us from the penalty and power of sin over the believer. He saved us from its rule over us and its consequence of death and hell. And therefore, he deserves this position of headship, and it's reasonable for him to be the chief authority over us because of that. Now, the home becomes a microcosm of the church because God has ordained the man to be the head, as Christ is head of the church. So the man has the greatest responsibility and culpability. And he's to be similar to Christ in the exercise of his authority, as we shall see. I won't get into that this morning, but we will next week. And he cannot be like the mild-mannered man who read a book on being self-assertive and decided he was going to start at home. So one day, he comes storming into his house, and he points at his wife, he puts his finger in her face, and he says, from now on, I'm the boss, and here, my word is going to be law. So you get in the kitchen, you prepare me a gourmet meal, and then you draw my bath. And when I've eaten and finished my bath, guess who's going to dress me and comb my hair? And his wife rightly replied, the mortician. So the head of the home must rule like the head of the church. Now, husbands cannot be a savior like Jesus is a savior. But savior has the idea of being a protector, a provider, a defender. We can be all those things in the fullness of the Spirit. And again, more next time. But that's the way God has ordained things. It's a very high calling, and it correlates with our relationship in the church. And so as he goes on here in verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So the submission of the wife in the home correlates to the submission of the church to Christ. So we all agree that it's never right or respectful for us as the body of Christ to be disobedient to our head. Our will is always to be bent to his will. Our duty is to respectfully submit to his word and to his will. So wives should be to their husbands. Now, there's one thing we want to close with here, a concept in those last two words, in everything. We need to qualify that. There are those who teach today that the husband's authority is absolute, like a king over his subjects, And unfortunately, that goes to the, you know, to a man's head and not thinking about it thoroughly. We seem to forget that the authority that we have is derived from Christ. Therefore, it must be administered like Christ, in the same manner as Christ, kindly, lovingly. Submission in everything does not include sinful things. Doing something that God says we should not do, or not doing something God says we should do. So I think in everything has to be qualified, because there is a higher authority. And unfortunately, once in a while, a husband may request or demand something to be done that the Bible specifically says, no, we as Christians cannot do that. So in a situation like that, a wife would have to humbly say, honey, I can't do that, and this is why. And there you have it. So we need to qualify that by understanding that what is acceptable and right before God supersedes even my husband if he wants me to do something that is sinful and wrong. Now, these admonitions are obviously for wives, but also for future wives. We have some young ladies here that haven't been married. Hopefully someday they will, to a good Christian man. But whether, and incidentally, the whole context of this teaching is one man, one woman in the Lord. Okay? Not outside of the Lord. A lot of problems have arisen in our lives because we married someone who wasn't saved and we were saved. 1 Peter chapter 3 is talking about someone who's saved and the husband's not saved yet. So there are mixed marriages, but we don't want to make sure that it's not because of our choice that that happened in the first place. So whether you have been married for 1 year or 10 years or 50 years, or even if you're not yet married, this is God's will for wives in the home. So if you're a respectful wife, if you're submitting to the leadership of your husband and the power of the Holy Spirit, then God can bless your home. He will bless your home. I know that for some it's more difficult than for others. But we always have to submit to the teaching of God's word and to the authorities that God places over us. And that begins with a home. So how well does your submissive spirit to your husband reflect that of the church to the Lord Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful again today for your word, for what it teaches. Lord, this is not in vogue with modern day society. But Lord, it's your word. It's what you want for us. And it's the way that you've ordained that a home will be run smoothly and graciously and in the center of your will so that you can bless it. Lord, we realize that every day as husbands and wives, we fail you. But Lord, help us to realize that in the power of your spirit, we can be obedient to the roles you've called us to, and we can have the best relationship this side of heaven that we can. So Lord, if there's an area we need to submit to you by confessing our sin, help us to do that. And Lord, help us to realize that again, that in ourselves, in our flesh, we cannot obey your word. So help our wives to be submissive and respectful and fulfill their role in the home, even as the church does to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless with these thoughts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
What page is this?
531. It's always, I'm sorry, it should be 831, all the way in the back of our hymnals. It may not be 831 either.